Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers, and welcome to this Sunday. As you just heard Josh say, as he does every week, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So what does that mean? Well, I offer career advice, and I'm old, and I've been around for a long time. I've also run staffing agencies for many, many years right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I've placed thousands of people on temporary and permanent assignments, and I've dealt with every issue you can imagine. I've helped people write resumes. I help people secure that next step in their professional career. I help coach people through difficult workforce situations, and my show is all about giving this type of advice and sharing stories so that maybe you can avoid a pitfall that perhaps I didn't avoid. You know, I'll share stories about where I've skinned my knees and help you to avoid it. And we and my guests, every week I have great guests. I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people on the show. And not only they talk about their companies and the great things that they're doing, but they also talk about their personal career journeys. And I always say, your career is a journey. It's not so linear. You know, you'll start off in one direction with a certain set of goals, and you might be working in an industry, and then what? The company moves, or gets relocated, or something changes, the market crashes, who knows? You know, and, or your position might be eliminated, and then you have to start all over. We have career journeys. And some of the advice I give people is no matter what your station is, whatever your job is right now, even if it's not the job that you intend to be in for the rest of your life and the rest of your career, or even intend to be there for the next year, while you're there, you always have to give it your best, no matter what. Even if you're upset or you're disappointed and you don't like your job, you still give it your best effort until you secure something else. And the reason why I say that is you're always getting judged. There are people. You know, the person sitting next to you might be a hiring manager down the road that you apply for a job you apply for. This person might be the manager, and you're going, and they say, oh, I remember when that Pete sat next to me, didn't give it his all, wasn't a hard worker, didn't give it his best, right? That's why you always want to give it your best. You know, sometimes when you work really hard through a difficult situation, even in a dead-end job, you know, someone might take notice and promote you. Or you might create a better environment just by giving it your best. And you might even find out that you were a contributor to making that job not the job that you wanted it to be because you weren't all the way into it. You weren't 100% invested in giving it your all. So that stuff's important to me. That's why I call my show Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, me. Hard worker. Why? Because, you know, for those of you that haven't listened to the show, if you're new to the show and you don't know my story is I grew up in Tewksbury, Massachusetts. What a great town. It's changed so much over the years since I left 35 some odd years ago. But it was a great town. But the biggest compliment you could give somebody in that town northeast of Boston wasn't, well, you know what, that Peter, he's a really good guy, or he's the smartest in the room, he's the richest, the best looking, the best, the most athletic. The best compliment you could give somebody in Tewksbury, Massachusetts was, you know what, that Peter, he's a hard worker. You know, and it's from Massachusetts, so we say hard and we say worker, okay? So that's the whole premise of the show is I always strive to be a hard worker in the role that I'm in because it can create a better situation, a better environment right now, even if this is not my be-all, end-all job. All right, today we got an exciting show. Our producer, Josh McCarthy, is going to join me, and we're gonna answer emails that have been sent in to me. Now, guys, I try to get to your email just as fast and as quick as I can each week, But sometimes there's a backlog, and when there's a backlog, we do a mailbag episode, and Josh will just read an email that was sent in to me, and what I do is I answer it on the air. And, you know, some of them you don't put your name when you send me emails. That's fine. Some of them, if it's a matter where I don't think that you're, you know, I'll give away your identity. I don't want to give away your identity, so I'll just say anonymous, but I appreciate you writing in. If you have a topic, a workforce-related topic, you'd like to see me address on the show, real simple. Go to Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. That's my email address. Send me a note. Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. You can always go to my website, www.PeteTheJobGuy.com. Got a whole host of information out there and all kinds of good stuff. All right, before we get to the mailbag, I want to talk about something that I believe is pretty important. One of the things that I got in my mailbag not too terribly long ago was someone said, Pete, how do you motivate employees? How do you keep your employees motivated? What's the secret sauce there? And I answered that person, and I thought, you know what? I'll kick off this show and talk a little bit about employee motivation. So the first thing is, I always think, how do I motivate employees? Well, I'm self-motivated and self-directed. That's me. You know, and I know me. I know what success looks like for me. And that's one thing when you set goals. I always look at the destination. What is the destination for me? In order for me to be motivated, I have to know what success is. I define success for me, and then I say, what are all the possible ways to get there, and what's the best possible way? And once I define what the best possible way is, I build in a system of actions and deadlines that are all measurable to make sure, and milestones, so that I know that I'm on track towards reaching my goals, right? So when I think about motivating people, the very first thing that I say, and I'll call this number one, and I'll go through about 7, 8, or 9 of these, and then I'll abandon it because you'll probably get tired of hearing it. But listen, if you're a leader or an aspiring leader or manager, you might want to get a pen and paper and jot some of these things down, because they're good thoughts to have when you're talking about motivating a staff and things you can do. The first thing I always say, number one, is realize that people aren't all the same. Okay, people aren't rubber stamped, right? We all have different pushes and pulls and different things that that motivate us, right? We're talking about motivation. So the first thing I say is ask people what they want. You know, instead of trying to guess what the most important things are to people, actually sit down with them. Find out, you know, what do they value? You know, crazy, right? To actually ask people what motivates them. Find out what they need. And that'll help you because, again, you start with the destination and then build the steps in. Number two, some of this is common sense to people, but recognize achievements. Express gratitude. You know, as an employment specialist, as a recruiter or headhunter, this is what I do. I run staffing companies. I ask people, you know, why would you consider leaving this job that you're in now? Or why, you know, why even looking? Or why'd you leave your last job? And so many times, it's not just about compensation or benefits. You know, it's not always about work-life balance and things like that. They usually say, because my boss didn't appreciate anything. Never recognized or rewarded me for anything. They never stopped to say thank you. I just feel so unappreciated. That's big. So recognize the achievements of your people, number two. Number three, this is going to be funny to a lot of people. You know what motivates people? Food. Food in the workplace. I know people are saying, food? What are you talking about? Feed your people. You know, I see a lot of people come to work, they punch in, check a few emails, and then they order breakfast or they go downstairs. I'm going to tell you, if you have food there once in a while, it's a good motivator, keeps people going. It's inexpensive. Throw some bagels out, or if you got a healthy place, some snacks that are healthy, or depending on what the climate is of your office, food is a motivator. You know, when I have a training class, it's a lot better when I do it as a lunch and learn and provide something to eat. You know, you get a lot more attendance, especially if it's optional, if food is there. Food is a motivator. Keep that in mind. Here's something you can do. Number four is offer a flexible work schedule to people. That is a motivator. You know, it's sometimes, depending on traffic, the commute to the office can add an extra 2 hours every day. Think about it. You know, if I'm down in Mandarin and I have to get downtown or, you know, my job somewhere at Southside or on the beaches, think about how traffic can back up. And if you allow people a little bit more of a flexible schedule instead of doing 8:30 to 5 or whatever it is, why don't you let them come in at 7 and leave at 4? If that works for you, and have some people come in at 10 and leave at 6 or what have you. Because that way they can avoid the peak travel times, and you know how it works. And listen, with technology too, some of you can actually have a flex schedule where people can work from home maybe one day a week or 2 days a week. Or so you get some people, you just have them work 4 10-hour days instead of 5 8-hour days, right? That flexible schedule goes a long way. Another motivator is number 5, be respectful, be honest, and be a supportive manager. This seems like a no-brainer, right? But some people like to, you know, hide information and not share it. They're not as transparent as they could be with their employees. And then, you know, or you tell some people some things and not the others, and it gets cliquish and it's not good. Open, transparent, respectful, and honest and supportive. That's important. A lot of times when you wonder, how can I motivate other people? It's how can you be better so you inspire people to be more motivated, right? Number 6, this is not everybody can do this. Depends on what your job is and what your company looks like. But if you can give people room to grow, a career path where they can see, if I achieve this, I can go here, I can go here. You give them room to grow. You know, some companies, too, they're so rigid in you following their guidelines. We don't pay you to think. You just execute. I don't want your opinion. There's no growth in that. And your mindset, whatever it is, if you don't want to hear from anybody else, boy, you're closing yourself down to learning new and creative ways to perhaps get a better result or create efficiencies. Right? Let's see. Oh, this one I love. I think I was on 6, so I'm going to call this number 7. Gamify your most important tasks or tasks that are redundant. Gamify. You build a game around it, okay? I'll tell you a funny thing, okay? I run like part of our job is we're on the phone quite a bit, and we're calling and reaching out to line managers and talking about the great candidates we're representing, trying to create opportunity for candidates that we interview proactively. And also, we're also calling candidates about jobs that we have to fill that our clients engage us to fill. But not everybody answers the phone all the time. So we leave a lot of messages throughout the course of the day. And if I'm talking to, let's say I make 100 phone calls out to people, candidates, clients, I'm busy on the phone, and we have kind of a call center environment. We're all there. You can kind of hear each other making calls and leaving messages. One thing we do, since it's so redundant to leave a message, we say, okay, here's the word of the day. Every time you leave a message, you have to say this. And we come up with the funniest thing. The last one we did was we had to say surf's up. So think about that. I'm calling a manager. Every time I leave a message and I say, you know what? Hey, Josh, it's Pete over here at S&I Financial. I was calling you about Susan, the candidate we talked about. Surf's up. Just wanted to let you know that. And, you know, and I leave the message. And it makes us laugh. It serves no other purpose. That whole game, it makes that redundant task of leaving a message funny. And you should hear how people use it in Surf's Up. And you know what the funny part is? The result of it is we get more calls back. People, did you just say Surf's Up in the middle of that message? What was that about? And we explain it's part of our game. It makes the day a little bit more fun. But you gamify redundant tasks or some of your most important tasks, and it can be a motivator. It can make things fun. And finally, and I'll make this my last one, we'll say it's number 8. I always get the numbers messed up. But number 8 is create stretch goals. Okay. Now, what are stretch goals? We all have goals. You know, you have to do this within the next 30 days, or these are your tasks, and these are the goals. You grow by 10% and do this. But if you have stretch goals with a reward behind it, you will be shocked at how people rise to the occasion to get these stretch goals met, especially in a sales environment and sales culture. You know, if you do this, here's 100% of your goal. But if you get 120% of your goal, this is a stretch. If you can do this, we will reward you by this. And just that stretch inspires people. Wow, if I do my normal stuff, I'm expected to do this. So you're expecting me to think outside the box. You're expecting me to be creative, or you're expecting me to do more. wow, you just set the bar higher. And if you, that stretch goal is going to motivate me to do more. Interesting, huh? Isn't that? All right, let's change gears here just a little bit. Guys, do you need your sprinkler system worked on? Maybe the heads aren't reaching and the coverage isn't just right. Or maybe you need a whole new sprinkler system set up. The only call I make is Houlihan Territory, 904-285-8505. They've taken care of all my sprinkler system needs. Gosh, Scott and his team for over 10 years. Not only do they do sprinkler systems, they do the best landscape lighting. They do wells, both shallow and deep wells. And I'm going to tell you, if they do French drains, it doesn't matter, but they do it great and effective. They come out, the people are clean, neat, ask you questions, and they cost less than anybody else that I've used in town. And believe me, before I found Scott about 10 years ago in the Houlihan Territory, I went through a few people, and I've been pleased as punch ever since. I got Houlihan Territory, 904-285-8505, and when you call them, you make sure you tell them Pete the Job Guy sent you. All right, now, as I told you, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. You guys write me your email questions, and I always do my best to answer them as timely and as quickly as possible, but sometimes there's a little bit of a backlog, and Josh, our producer, said to me, he goes, Pete, it's time we do a mailbag episode. You got to knock some of these out. Why don't we do it live on the air? So we're going to do it for you here this morning. Josh, are you there?
I'm here. It's time, Pete.
All right. Now, I say mailbag. What is it, actually?
It's actually the mail sack.
Right,
so we have a nice velvet bag with Pete the Job Guy stitching on the side.
And a guy rides up on a horse.
Yep. Yep. And, we named him Arthur.
Arthur? The horse or the guy?
Both. They're both Arthur. It's a very awkward situation. It took me a few weeks to remember. But Arthur delivered a bag, and in that bag was a couple of questions. And this is question one, and it comes to us from Rusty in Orange Park. And Rusty wants to know, Pete, what exactly is the difference between a resume and a CV?
That's a good question.
Because I have no idea what the answer is. So
okay.
I'm happy you're here.
Is a good question, and this doesn't come up a lot, but it does once in a while. Okay, a resume is what? It's a brief summary of your experience and your education and all your credentials. Everything's put in there if you have licenses, and you condense it, and it's a representation of you. And I always say people are perfect twice in their life, once when they're born, and once when they write their resume, because you know, you don't put all the bad stuff in there, you just put the good stuff in your resume, so you're perfect. But that's what a resume is, a brief overview of what you've done, your accomplishments. You know, you have action verbs, sometimes it's bullets, you leave enough white space on either side. Typically a resume, even the most experienced people are going to have a resume that fits on two, maybe three pages, okay? That's what a resume is, and for a lot of you, a one-pager is fine. Right? Now, a CV. CV is short for curriculum vitae. And what that is, it's a Latin word. All this is a summary of your experience, but it's more in-depth. And the folks that usually do a CV are you know, academics, if you're going to be like a science, you want to quantify everything. In a CV, it's generally accepted to be 2, 3, 4, maybe 10 pages long to really get into the specific experience, get into your academics beyond my degree is in this. You know, you really get into it. It's longer. International folks are going to have more of a CV than a resume. And that's really it. Josh, let me think. Yeah.
Do you want, when filling out a CV, I know sometimes it's popular to have multiple versions of your resume. Say if you're applying for one specific job, you want to highlight some specific skills. Where if you go for a job in a different field, you might want to put something else a little more in depth skills. Because you don't want to have the same resume for a physician as an electrician.
Yes.
Or something along those
lines.
You're correct. Do you have different versions of CVs too, or is that more just everything all in one little pamphlet?
Well, as I say,
everything is so detailed.
I always tailor a resume for the specific position, tailor a CV for the specific position.
If it's going to be a CV, it's going to be in depth. But I would also, depending on the position that I'm going for, I might get a little bit even more detailed for the things that relate specifically, the experience that's going to relate specifically for the job that I'm going for. And a CV, I mean, you're throwing everything in the kitchen sink in there. You really want to quantify and put it in and get into graphic details everything that you've done. It's much it's well beyond a summary. And you know, if people want more information on writing a CV, when is a CV appropriate? When is a resume appropriate? You can always email at Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com or call me at my company, SNI Companies, 904-713-2550. And I'm happy to help and get into additional detail with that.
Awesome.
What else we got?
Question number two in our mailbag today. This one, I noticed a typo in the question. So I think I know what question they asked, but they might be asking a question even too hard for Pete the Job Guy. This is how it's written. Pete, what is a God starting salary for a college graduate in Jacksonville? And it comes to us from Anonymous. So I really don't know where they're going.
I'm going to guess they mean what is a good starting salary.
A good starting salary. You know, so they don't want to know any kind of omnipotent.
Yeah, right.
Omnipotent figures.
I'm out on that. I know a lot of stuff, but that's going to be one that's beyond the capabilities. I know when to say when, and I don't know what a God starting salary is, but that would be extremely high, I would imagine. Well, let's talk about averages, you know. And I right now, and this is just kind of straight across the board for a college graduate, and this is going to disappoint some people. And it is for college graduates in Jacksonville, Florida. It's just a little bit over $41,000 annual income is what the starting average salaries are. Now, this takes into consideration, guys, everything from, you know, if you graduate college, you don't walk in to these big salaries. Some make more than others. You know, some is a first year attorney, you would make more. As a first year engineer, you would make more than a first year, maybe somebody that graduated with liberal arts and might get into something different like sales or radio or something. You know, it's different. But all things considered, you know, this is a broad question. And when it's a good starting salary, I would want to define that more. What is a good starting salary within my specific skill set, for my degree? And I can give you some more facts and figures too. Let's see, Jacksonville, the mean salary in Jacksonville right now is almost $47,000. That takes into consideration all professions, guys, up and down the spectrum. The good thing about Jacksonville salaries is they've grown by almost 1% during this calendar year, which is very good. So they are on the rise. And one of the greatest things about living in Jacksonville, if you know your numbers a little bit, is Jacksonville, the cost of living is 5 to 6% lower than the national average here. So what I say is, you know, you can buy things here that you would not be able to buy maybe in a city like Boston or Chicago or, you know, in some other places where the mean income is higher and the cost of living is higher. Jacksonville's a good spot. So even though the salaries might be a little bit lower comparatively, you know, for first year college grads in Jacksonville, it's 41 and change, as we said, on a national average, it's about 44. But it's 6% less expensive to live here than the other places. So your money goes a little further, you know? All right, what's next in the mailbag?
What we have next is a question that comes to us from Riverside from Kathy. Kathy, she loves languages, and she's kind of getting her feet wet in a couple of them. But she really wants to know, is there a certain language or a couple of languages that she should really buckle down in that look great on a resume? Very competitive.
Can she read Sanskrit?
She didn't put that? In her, unless she wrote it in Sanskrit, then I can't read it.
Well, you know what? The most common language is Spanish. You know, it's good. I can tell you as an employer here in Jacksonville and nationally, the most requested language outside of English, obviously, is Spanish. Bilingual Spanish they look for. Second to that is French. And it's bilingual Spanish, then bilingual French. And those would be the ones. I would stick with Spanish. And, you know, come on. They're all – once you learn one, you can jump over to the other. From
the Latin dialects.
Yeah, all the, from the Latin dialects. That's exactly correct. And it's a quick leap to the others. But to answer Kathy's question specifically, Spanish is it. That music tells us that we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. Guys, you're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, all you hard workers. And if you missed the first part of the show, today's show, what we're doing is reaching deep into the mailbag and answering your questions. If you have a question or a workforce topic you'd like to see addressed on Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, it's real easy. Just go to pete@petethejobguy.com. Send me a note. That's my email address, pete@petethejobguy.com. I answer them as quickly as possible. Every once in a while, they get a little backed up, and Josh knocks me on the head and say, Pete, it's time for a mailbag episode, and we answer your questions right here, live on the air. If it's a sensitive topic or we don't think it's appropriate to give away your name, we just say anonymous and we leave it at that. Some of the questions we've answered already today, helping people out. We had somebody ask, what's the difference between a resume and a CV? What's a good starting salary for a college graduate here in Jacksonville? If I was going to learn a second language, which one would you suggest I do? Good questions. If you missed it, if you missed the first part of the show, that's okay. A lot of you like to sleep in a little bit on Sundays, and I completely understand. Our podcasts are always uploaded every Monday afternoon, so you can go back and listen to each and every show that we've had. And I'll tell you what, we have some pretty exciting shows, some great guests, some of Jacksonville's most influential people. They're all leaders, entrepreneurs, and people that aren't afraid to share with you their personal career journeys to help you to be more effective and productive in whatever role you're in or whatever industry you're in. You know, in a big part of our show, we have a weekly contributor, and that's Coach Larry. And Coach Larry helps managers to become more effective leaders. And he walks us through real-world scenarios, and he gives solutions. So, guys, this is a good time for Coach Larry, but I'm going to really invite you to get a pen and a paper out. Or if you're a millennial and you like to do everything on your handheld device, get your thumbs ready. Because when Coach Larry speaks, managers should listen, because he will help you to become a more effective leader. With no further ado, let's get our leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
In my leadership workshops, I often get asked, what do you do when someone doesn't respond to your coaching or your questions? In other words, you set up the meeting to discuss some subject and the person just doesn't want to talk. And this can be one of the most challenging situations. I personally prefer it when the person verbalizes their disagreement, but these quiet ones, they require us to be especially skilled at management. So looking at the big picture, I would say there's likely a trust issue with you, maybe with the company or the team. But today I want to talk about, what do you do in the moment when you have Silent Sam or Silent Sally looking back at you and not moving their lips? So are you ready for some tips? These come from a book I read in graduate school. It's called Coping with Difficult People by Dr. Richard Bramson. So the first tip is simply to ask open-ended questions. Many times when we are facing a Silent Sam, we start to ask closed-ended questions in order to make it more comfortable for them. Or perhaps you just want to get the conversation over with. But the thing with closed-ended questions is that this encourages more of their silence. Instead of asking, do you see any challenges? Well, ask, what do you see as the challenges? Instead of asking, will you make the deadline? Ask, what might get in the way of making the deadline? So again, asking open-ended questions to really encourage them to open up is critical. A second tip is to not fill in the space when there is silence. Give them time to answer. Smile a bit, but don't just stare at them. That's kind of creepy. When you sit there and you remain silent, this sends the message that you expect a response. You expect them to speak. And that, guess what? their response is important, and you had the time. Okay, so you tried all your Jedi mind tricks, and they're still not talking. This is where I like to step outside of the conversation figuratively and comment about what I see going on. You could say something like, hey, I just asked you a couple questions and I'm getting really short answers. What's going on? Is everything okay? If they still don't open up, then you can share your thoughts about what you think is going on. And you can do this by asking a question such as, are you concerned how I might react? Or is there an issue with the project that is difficult to discuss? Tip number 4. So the silent Sally has remained silent. He tried to get her to talk and she's not cooperating. At this point, I suggest that you summarize and end the meeting. Share your point of view about what transpired and thus make it clear that you are not going to waste any more of your time. Also, don't let them off the hook. Explain that you will meet again and be very clear about what you're expecting them to bring to the table next time from a project perspective and behaviorally as well. And when closing, it's important to reiterate your support, but also to be clear on the impact that this non-productive conversation has had. So let me know what difficult people you're dealing with at work. You can reach out to me at www.mendozaandobrien.com. And who knows, I just might do an episode on it.
Another gem from Coach Larry. Guys, I invite everybody to go out to mendozaandobrien.com. Larry is the chief learning officer. He can teach anything. I mean, he can help create specific programs to help your people to become more effective and productive. He's been doing this for many years. He has my strongest personal endorsement. You go out to mendozaandobrien.com and engage Larry O'Brien. And again, this episode today, we're going into the mailbag and we're answering your questions that you write to me at pete@petethejobguy.com. That's my email address, pete@petethejobguy.com. Josh McCarthy, our producer. What do we have, Josh?
Go to the next one. Let me get it out of the bag. All right. We got it here. This one comes to us from Kyle, it looks like. And Kyle wants to know, Pete, will you please do a show that discusses overcoming adversity? I deal with a lot at work.
Overcoming adversity.
Overcoming adversity.
You know, I can't think of a time where I've ever worked when there wasn't some kind of adversity, right? Not everything is sunshine and roses, and not everything comes, you know, it's just perfect and the day's great. There's always something. There's, you know, people are interesting. You know, they have different attitudes, and not everybody checks their bags at the door. And people have life issues and all kinds of things that, so it can be personality conflicts that might be the adversity, or my boss might be the creator of the adversity, or my clients aren't buying from me right now, or, you know, my commute is, we all deal with adversity, right? We all deal with it. But Kyle, it seems like he's saying he's dealing with some, and Pete, what can I do? Kyle, I don't know your specific situation. I don't, okay? I'm going to speak in generalities. But when I hear someone say, you know, I'm dealing with adversity at work, first thing I say is shine the mirror on yourself. Are you partially responsible? Could you be? Now, this is hard when you get introspective like this. Some of this adversity that you're dealing with, it could be generated by you. You might be part of the problem, not part of the solution. And that's one of the first things I invite people to say is, what can you personally change about yourself to affect the situation or to make it better? The second one, if the adversity is someone telling me, Pete, you stink, or they're being negative towards me, if they give me feedback that's negative, I got to thank people because you're letting me know. You ever know that, like, when customer service, if you take the time to say, my service was horrible, and if they say, well, why? Well, because this happened and this happened. Whoa, wow. You know, if people take the time to deliver negative feedback, own it, accept it. Don't try to, you know, fire back right away. Own it. You know, give yourself time to process it and think, wow. You know, sometimes you sleep on it instead of firing back. But treat negative stimulus or negative feedback as a positive and thank people. When I'm dealing with adversity, I accept what I can control, right? And I look to change the things. I accept the things I can't control. Like some of the things that in adversity, some things I can't control. but I look to the things that I might be able to change to make it better. And that's an important, that goes with just about anything in life, right? Isn't that part of the that oath that you take about drinking, you know, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I mean, that's big stuff. And I think that applies here when you're dealing with adversity as well. Another thing I tell people, you're dealing with adversity, and, you know, usually adversity is a barrier to reaching the goals that you're trying to reach, whether it's happiness, success, whatever it is. Sometimes you might have to make all new goals or change your scenario. I mean, that's it. Sometimes accepting the things you can't change are, okay, I'm not going to be able to get there from here, so maybe I have to do a reset. And it might be resetting your goals or resetting your path to achieving your goals. And the next thing I tell anybody who has adversity is determination, perseverance, and accepting the fact that failure is just one step closer. Failure is part of the process of success. You have to accept, not all people, I guarantee the majority of overwhelmingly successful people in life have a series of failures. You know, like boxers, it's not how hard you punch sometimes, it's how hard of a punch you can take. You know, and that's the important thing to know when you're dealing with adversity is look, just stay determined and try your best to figure it out. You have any comments on that, Josh? What do you think about dealing with adversity?
You know, there are a bunch of little things that you can look to kind of just improve the way people see you and the way you see yourself. And I tend to think of, sometimes it can be as simple as looking at yourself. Maybe you should have eaten that banana instead of that cupcake, or something along those lines. And I've noticed that the way that I treat myself greatly affects my daily routine. If I don't wake up and I eat something that I shouldn't have eaten, I'm just in a funk all day. And that may not be so adverse, but that could be one of the smaller things that builds up to maybe an interaction or a confrontation that you don't want to deal with.
Right.
Maybe you should have gone for the run, or maybe something like that. That I do think that can play a big part in my life, at least.
It is your mindset. You know, psychologists say that 7 out of 10 thoughts that go through an average person's mind are negative anyway. And you can't just say, okay, I'm going to make it 10 out of 10 are going to be positive now. You can't. It's the way we're wired. So making a little minor adjustments for yourself can have a big impact on everything else. Let's go to the very next one. What's the next one,
Joe? The next question is, and I got to be honest, I'm also wondering this too, because this one comes to us from, well, who the sender is until the end. What on earth is the deal with David Mosher? Because that guy is crazy. Sincerely, The Lynx. They use an alias, I see.
All right, I almost lost it on that one. You know, for those of you that listen to the show, and clearly whoever wrote this, Lynx, is a listener of the show, is a few weeks back, I received an email from somebody that wanted me to call an employee of theirs. And this employee's name was David Mosher. The person was the HR director. I guess her name was Kim. And she wrote me this big, long letter, green-lighted me to call him live on the air and talk to him and see if I can help him. She didn't really give me much information. So we call. And it was one of the funniest calls I've ever heard in my life. This guy actually brought a lynx to the office, and it wasn't in the handbook that you can't bring a big, scary cat. And as I asked him more questions, he got into telling me, well, I had a holstered tranquilizer gun and all this. Okay. Is it a farce? Is it something that's silly? I'm going to tell you what. I never laughed so hard. I didn't laugh during the segment. I just let it roll, right? But I talked to David. I said I would call him. I said, I'll call you off air. I had a follow-up discussion. And you guys have to be the judge. Is this guy putting us on or not? I said, David, well, if you have any updates, just send them to me as you get them, and I'll listen to them, and we'll play them on the air. Now, I've received a lot of email about this guy, David Mosher, and most of the email is like this one. That guy's crazy. And other people are like, are you putting us on or what? You know what? I'm not going to say one way or the other. I'm going to let you be the judge, but I did receive an update from David Mosher. And guys, you know, you're going to hear it for the first time, just like I'm going to hear it for the first time. He just sent this to us, and it says sauna is all it says on it. So, Josh, you know what? Go ahead and play the date. You guys be the judge. Is this guy for real or not? But these are the ongoing chronicles, the HR chronicles of David Mosher.
Hey, everybody. It's Dave Mosher from Upstate. saunas at work. Seems like this is becoming a trend at a lot of companies that are installing saunas in their fitness centers for their employees' enjoyment. And I'm a big fan of saunas. I find them very relaxing. Unfortunately, where I work, we don't have a sauna, and I've made several requests to have one installed, and it doesn't seem like the budget's there or the space is there to have one installed. So I've been working on a few ways to remedy this. One of the things I've been working on is I've developed a tarp system that allows me to have it in a backpack, go in the restroom, and fully tarp an individual stall to get a really tight seal on the stall. And I have a camp stove that I've been experimenting with that I've have a makeshift rock system in that allows me to get that heated up and going inside this tarp system. Now remember, these rocks are very hot, so it has a sterilizing effect. So don't get grossed out or, ooh, that's gross. But what I'm doing is I'm taking the toilet water and I'm putting it on the rock system to create a steam, which ultimately creates a hot, humid environment inside the stall and inside the tarp system, and it's it really gets the effect of a sauna going. I've been experimenting with it, and I've got some negative feedback on it. There's a lot of people that are a little unsettled by me using the sauna in the work bathroom. I'm in a robe most of the time. There are some times when I get things going and I want to enter after I have it properly heated that I will disrobe, you know, outside the stall in the bathroom and hang my robe. And I'll try to move in quickly so as to not to bother anybody. But I guess there's been some complaints about this. Seems like we've got some people at work that are uncomfortable using the restroom at work, knowing that there's a naked, sweaty man with a camp stove in the stall right next to them. That for some people, that's not really acceptable. So I'm trying to work through some of this now. There's some kinks in the system that I have here. But I'm going to be working on developing this system, and I'd like to get some feedback from others of their thoughts on it, and if maybe there's somebody out there who's interested in, I've got some plans that I could share, somebody that might be interested in trying this where they work, and we could get some additional feedback. Thank you.
Okay. That just happened. You know, it's you can't rewrite that. That just kind of happened. Josh, will you help me out here? I mean, this
I won't be able to look at slip and slides the same again.
So I know all of you are getting ready to email me email me. Let me know what I can tell David Mosier. You know, if you're interested in getting the plans apparently for his at work sauna system with tarps and hot rocks, send me an email and I'll push it up to David Mosier. That segment is called The Ongoing Chronicles of David Mosier, and you be the judge. The next segment right here that we have, ladies and gentlemen, is the Boston update from Boston Danny. And his beloved Bruins didn't win this week. I know St. Louis won their first Stanley Cup ever, but let's hear if he's in good. It's Father's Day, so he might be in good spirits. So with no further ado, let's get our Boston update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny from Boston here, giving you your Great White North update. So, you know, I don't know how many of you guys are hockey fans down there. I know there's a lot of people that are, you know what hockey is, but I'm sure you've all heard about, you know, my Bruins. You know, they went into it with a good effort, but, you know, sometimes the better team just wins. And, you know, but, you know, consistently we're always there. We're always in the hunt, which is the great thing about Boston sports. I mean, we don't have to win it every year, but I'm not saying it isn't nice, but, you know, we share the wealth. The Bruins can be a little frustrating. It's a tough game. If you guys are familiar with hockey, I hope everybody watched it. It was a great series. You know, they tried their best. They're a bunch of hard workers, but sometimes you don't come out on top. And, you know, you back it up and you regroup and you get back into it. But believe me, the Bruins will be there again. Would have been nice to have ourselves another championship parade. But, you know, St. Louis, great team, great town. They deserve it. They haven't seen it for 52 years. I mean, we won it in 2011. It was wonderful. You know, I saw grown men cry at that time. People that, you know, we hadn't had a chance for it. We had our drought, but we have it. We were back in it in 2013. You know, great team, Chicago. I thought we were a better team, but, you know, we came down and we lost. But it's all good sportsmanship, and, you know, just like all of us, we learn from it. And we're all good workers off of it. But enough of my Boston Bruins. I hope everyone's all right in Jacksonville. You know, not to hop on Boston traffic, but, you know, I can believe it. Why we've, you know, this year they came out and said Boston was the most congested city. We got the biggest commute just to go to work. Sometimes it seems like just trying to go from Boston to Boston is going to take you an hour. So the traffic is rough. But you guys all know about that, and we deal with it, folks, you know. Hope everyone's been good. I got some shout-outs here. You guys, you know, I like to give you shout-outs. Get them in. Let Peter know, and I'll butcher you up on the air. So, of course, the birthdays are happening. I want to wish a wicked piss a birthday to Bob Yogi Benson. Awesome nickname. I hope you have a great one. Nancy Saunders Boonagla. Great name, Nancy. Enjoy it. Matt Kaminsky and K. Dean Jepson. Today's your day. Like I always say, do something special for yourself, because nobody else won't, maybe, but, you know, do it for yourself, something you enjoy, and enjoy it. Folks in Jacksonville, love talking to you. Hope you're enjoying it, and you guys have a great Sunday, and don't you just love Peter's show? It's one of the best on the airways. I've turned a lot of people up in Boston onto it, not just because of my segment, but just because of all the great information for all us hard workers. It really helps us out. Peter, brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, enjoy it. I'll be talking to you. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, Boston Danny. And right now, I want to make sure all you dads out there, happy Father's Day to you. I hope you have a great Father's Day, and that goes to my father, too. I hope you guys, everybody, have a wonderful Father's Day. And I'm going to tell you, I am Pete the Job Guy, but I'm also Pete Langlois, and I run staffing companies. Right here in Jacksonville, I run SNI companies. If you have any staffing needs, reach out to me. I'm surrounded by the area's best recruiters, and I've been doing this for so long, I know I can help you here in town. My number is 904-713-2550. 904-713-2550. You can work directly with me if you'd like. Just call that number and say, I'd like to speak with Pete the Job Guy. And guess who you're going to get? You're going to get me, and you're going to get the best service you've ever had in your life. If it's out there, I can find it, I promise you. Now, guys, this has been an exceptionally good show. This is the show we went deep in the mailbag. I want to thank my producer, Josh McCarthy, for stepping up. Josh, thank you for helping us this Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to you, by the way.
Thank you so much, and back to you.
Yeah, right. And that music tells us that what? We've come to the end of another exciting show. We've had a lot of fun on this show. I always love doing it. Guys, you're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV.